performing at the Brea Improv February 21st and 22nd. The tickets go to brea.improv.com. Who am I talking about? Well, Paul Reiser.
So exciting.
He's in the Bristol Farmers Green Room, and now he's here. He's at the door. There he is. Look at him.
Oh, my God.
Goodness.
He looks just like he does on TV. Look at that.
You look like you look on radio.
Hi, Paul Reiser.
Hello.
We love you.
Nice people. We love you.
This is crazy.
Look how cute you are in person.
Thank you.
On the radio, you don't get the full sense of it.
No.
Whereas I got to say exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Yes, made for this.
He gets that a lot.
Do I need these? No, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, I sound much better.
Yeah.
Right?
Look at that. This golden tone.
See, listen.
Oh, I sound very.
Listen to that.
I'm like a young Scott Muni. You don't even know who that is. Do you know who
Scott? Yeah, Scott Muni. Yeah. He's a radio guy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
I'm showing my age there. He was Scott
East Coast.
WNEW in New York.
Yeah.
And I have, you have the camera going. That's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want to miss 1 minute.
No one ever believed you were going to be here.
Why?
They're like, please, Paul Reiser.
What do I have to do at 7 in the morning?
You've been a busy guy.
7 in the morning. I'm sitting here hoping you guys call me and say, come on. This is the first day it panned out. I got the call at 4. Can you get up and get down? Yes.
Yes, I'll be there. No, you've been really busy. You had a couple films at the Sundance Film Festival.
I saw that. Look at that.
And you're working on another pilot starring yourself.
I'm going to write another pilot.
Please come back to television.
Okay.
I love you.
You know
7
what?
Years. Mad About You, 7 years.
For you alone, I would do it.
Thank you, Paul. I've seen every episode of Mad About You probably 40 times. I loved it. I wanted it. That was the kind of relationship I wanted. I wanted a dog named Murray. I wanted the whole thing. Hey there, F. Murray. Hey there, F. Murray Abraham. The whole thing. I love
Murray,
it.
Murray. That's right. That's right.
I love it.
That's so funny because people will come over to me now and will say, oh, I love the episode with the thing. I'm going, never heard of it.
Remember.
I go, wow. Some of them I do, but other ones I go, wow, you got me on that. They go, you don't remember it. You said this. And I said, you got to get out of the house more often.
I know.
Not
I
you,
know.
This guy.
Right, I understand. But so, people do that too us.
And remember maybe a bit.
You're
doing it every day.
Yeah, doing it every day, but it'll be like, oh my God, last week you told a story, and I'm like, oh my God. And I worry that I got something going on in my brain.
So
I'm going, I totally don't remember. The same day.
Yeah, be like, hey, you guys talked about that this morning.
Go,
I'm like, I have no
did?
Idea what we talked about this morning.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's about crock pots. Oh, yeah.
About doing it and then.
That's a solid radio segment.
And then just letting it go. I don't know what that's about. Yeah.
Now, you started out your career doing stand-up, and now you're doing it again, but you didn't do it
I didn't do it for 20 years.
New material?
Yes. I wanted the people to feel the absence. No. You know, it's so funny. All I meant to be was a stand-up. That's all I wanted to do, and I didn't really think any past that. And I got kind of lucky, and I got break in movies, and then TV shows took off. And I always meant to get back. And there were a lot of guys who did stand up while they had a show and they would do it. And I just never could juggle all that. So I kind of said, I'll get back to it. And then the show was over and I was kind of happy to stay home for a while.
Yeah, of course.
And then I looked up, I go, it's been 18, 19 years. It's time to get...
Your wife's probably like, So you're going to be home all day then?
Yeah.
Or is this...
You know what? My son was about 7 and he came home from school. And I was so... proud of the fact. I said, I'm so blessed, man. I could be I'm able to be home and my kids come home from school and dad's here and what a confident building thing that will be for them as children. And one day my son, he was like 9, he said, Dad, let me ask you. He came home from school. He said, What do you do? I see you here almost every day, but what do you do? Because the other children's dads do things.
Yeah, go off to work.
So I said, I should probably do something. But what happened was, you know, the only time I would perform stand-up would be like at a charity event and host a thing. And that's easy. You've done that. You know, you tell a joke. Here's the mayor. And you go home. And then I did some event that it was just a great audience and they had been good and liquored up or something.
That always helps.
And I was funny that night and I got off stage and went, wow, I forgot. That's really fun. So I just called up the club. I said, can I come down and just try some stuff? And I really had nothing. I had like 10 minutes of stuff.
But like I remember your book, Parenthood,
yeah.
Right?
So, father? Parenthood? I don't know.
Parenthood?
Well, no, father, who was Cosby? What was
Parenthood.
Mine?
Parenthood.
I forgot the book, too.
Yeah,
no, Babyhood.
Babyhood.
That's what it was. I knew it wasn't quite right.
So when you got that's
I didn't forget,
the story
see, I didn't
of my
forget
life,
everything.
I'm just not quite right. But I have that sitting on my bookshelf, so I can't even believe I couldn't remember the name of it. But so when your kids come along, obviously that changes the act. That gives you more.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Without my wife, without my kids, I got no act.
Right.
I'd be standing up on stage going, how are you? I'd have nothing. In fact, when Mad About You was over the last night, it was kind of a bittersweet thing. It was a wonderful thing. It was time to be over. And the show was on my wife and I that night. And my wife turns to me in all seriousness and said, "What are you going to do with all the funny stuff I say now?" Wow. Okay. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard, that she was concerned. I don't want to say things if you're not going to use them.
Wasted.
For commercial gain,
right,
yes.
Yes. Unless Jamie Buckman is saying them.
But, yeah, so I got back on stage, and it was so fun, and I didn't realize how much I missed it. I really loved doing it. And like I said, that was really all I ever intended to do. But it's a weird thing when you haven't done it for a while. I mean, I'm sure it would be like this.
Was it getting back on there like your very first time walking on
rusty.
Stage?
Rusty.
Like, it wasn't quite that way, because I think the first time I was 17 or 18, and you're thinking – You don't. Luckily, you're so stupid. You don't know.
My friends say I'm hilarious, right? And you're like, yeah, I'm totally right. Hilarious.
Well, yeah, you have no idea how not good you are, and that sort of keeps you alive. Because if you realized you were absolutely without skill, you would never go up. So you need a little bit of denial. But so when I went up this time, I was like, well, the audience was very happy to see. Well, where's that guy been? And so you can tell a joke, you can get a laugh, but it was. Not with any kind of the confidence or skill that you get from doing it, you know. And I would go into the clubs and I'd see guys I had never heard of and who were really good. I'm like, well, these guys have obviously been doing it every day for whatever it is. That was loud. That's 1 o'clock in Beijing.
That's called a boom.
So I realized, I was reminded that there is no substitute for just doing it and doing it and getting and doing it every day. And so it was about – I did it for about a year. And then actually, at Brea was actually the first time I said, let's see if I can do a whole show. So that was like last summer, I think, was the first time I had done
a show. And what's a whole show, like an hour?
An hour or sometimes an hour and a half. Well, in a club, yeah. But so it was really – they said two shows. I went, no, two? No. I don't even know if I could stand there. Because I remember the first time I went in the club, I called up and I said – this is how another sign, as if I needed it, another sign that I was getting older. I called the club – great club down in Hermosa Beach, the Comedy Magic Club, which has always been a great home. And I said, and the first time I tried, I said, can I come down and try out some new stuff? They said, sure, come on down. The show starts at 10. And I actually said, at night? No, 10 o'clock at night. That's crazy talk.
I'm in bed by 8:30.
Absolutely.
At the latest.
Can they come to me? Is that manageable?
Right.
So the first time they said, do two shows, I said, I will not. And of course, I did one and I went, oh, can we do three, four? Oh. It was great. It was so much fun. And, so it's been really fun, and I've been going, doing clubs and doing theaters and doing casinos.
Do you ever work a little dirty? Because you're so, like, Paul Reiser, wholesome, like, God, do you ever?
I don't work dirty, but there's a couple of words here and there, or I'll do some, or, yeah.
Because I would imagine the audience goes, ooh, it's like when Bob Saget, his act was so different than Danny.
Yeah, no, I don't, nobody's going to come see me and go, wow, that's not what I was expecting.
Right.
You'll see. I always told me that it's been the same thing. You know, Mad About You sort of grew out of my stand-up, and the books grew out of the show. So everything's sort of been on the same line, but it's all new stuff because I'm older and life is different.
Kids are older.
I'm old. Yeah. So, life in your 50s is not the same as your 20s, and you can't – you can only talk about L.A. is different than New York. You can only do that for so long. So
Well, you called it lucky, your career path, because you like started out doing stand-up, and then you got the television and movies and books and everything. That's pretty much like, I guess, what every stand-up comedian, when they start, want to basically take the path that Paul Reiser ended up on, like getting the TV and getting the movies.
It has all been really fortunate. All I wanted to do was Merv. I went on Jay Leno, it's got to be 10 years ago, and I did a joke to him on the air. I was like, about Merv, and he went, you realize nobody knows what you're talking about. Merv has been off the air 15 years. You're the oldest man in the world. Stop saying Merv.
With all your success, what one thing did you do, splurge on for yourself when you was like, you know what, I'm going to spend some crazy money. And
this lovely sweater that you see here.
That lovely sweater.
You can tell it's nice.
Did you ever
it's
do
cashmere.
Something crazy and splurge on something?
No. I'm not a splurger.
No?
No. We went out and got two kids. That was
well,
costly.
Yeah, that
ran
as
up,
you know.
That's running up a
very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
College.
What do I go
thing.
For now? What's a kid now? Because I got the old models, and they seem to be expensive.
Somebody's like, I don't have any kids, and somebody's like, yeah, it's like $100,000 to get a kid to 18. I'm like, $100,000 just to get him to 18? That sounds like a – would you agree with that?
Probably more than that.
More.
I would say. I mean –
school and
But sometimes you say, you know what, 12 is enough.
Right?
You don't make it to 18. You go, I'm done.
Yeah, get out on your
Give
own.
It to somebody else. You say, yeah.
You're capable.
That's all I have.
Your clothes are fine. Yeah. Good enough.
And you're smart enough. School, right. You don't need more school.
Paul Reiser is performing at the Brea Improv.
At the Brea Improv.
February 21st and 26th.
That's Friday. What's today? Today's Wednesday.
Today's
so it's Friday. Yeah. So it's this Friday, one show and two shows on Saturday. And
see, you were scared of doing two. You're up to three.
Yeah, see? But they – and it's funny. They said, they got nervous. They said, you know, there's not a lot of advance tickets. I said, let me explain something. See, my people, they're older. They're not going to go online. They're going to show up.
Charlie,
you got to do radio. But I noticed the further you go from home, the happier they are to see you. You go to – you know what I mean?
You're never a hero in your own hometown.
No, you go, well, we don't need to see him. He'll be back another time. Right. So they're not as anxious. Whereas you go to – you know, you go to Bangor, Maine. You go to Seattle. You go to Dallas. Wow, that's the guy from our TV is here.
Right.
This is exciting. At home – and by the way, you extend that. In my own home, there is no appreciation.
Yeah. No. We don't care.
They've seen me every day.
You big TV star.
Get out, go out. Yes.
I did have a question about your son. Like when he was little and saying, Daddy, when he was 9 and saying, what do you do?
Yeah.
How did you explain to him? Because I know when you're out somewhere, somebody would go, can we get a picture with you? And wouldn't it be like, how do these people know you?
Yeah. It'll be weird the first time. And because my little guy was born after, he was born in 2000. So it was after Mad About You. So I was really home for most of his life. And he had some vague sense that people knew me from something, but he had never seen it. And it wasn't really till about last year first saw some episodes of Mad About. And it was only because I wanted him to see – he hadn't seen Mel Brooks and a lot of the guest stars. I said, you got to see the Yoko Show. You got to see these people and Jerry Lewis. Because he only knew – my kids walk around doing Jerry Lewis, not even knowing that it's Jerry. But they've gotten it from me. So – and it kills me because they'll actually, in a good way, it kills me. They'll say things and put that Jerry Lewis curve on it, and they go, "I'm going to have some cereal. I'm going and pour some cornflakes," and they have no idea what they're doing. Do you know that's Jerry Lewis? Well, who's Jerry Lewis? Who's Jerry Lewis? You're doing it.
Go get the computer.
Yeah,
we're pulling this up.
I'll have some cornflakes. They go, "We just thought that's how people talk." No, that's not how people talk. Just in our home.
Definitely. Go get your tickets.
The people at the club relax.
You said that the people that come see you, they're not on – they go the day of. Yeah. They go and they buy the tickets. But you
– I'm huge walk-up.
At Paul Reiser on Twitter. Getting on Twitter, I mean, has that been a new experience for you to actually social
I'm
media?
Such a reluctant Twitterer. I think I've tweeted 6 times and I go, hi, how are you? Just doesn't dawn on me.
How are you?
I was at Sundance, which was so cool, and everybody's – tweeting. I go, what are you doing?
Can we just be in the moment?
Yes. Yeah. And they're taking pictures. I said, who cares? How many people out there? I mean, you're exactly, you know, you're not in the moment, so you're not enjoying it. And why would you presume that thousands of others? The only reason I could think to do it is to say, hey, I'll be at the so-and-so theater. Come see me. But you don't really need to tweet that. So I'm trying, and I have people in my corner who are saying, you need to tweet.
Embrace it.
I said, but
Well, if you want to follow somebody who's not going to clog up your timeline, then follow at Paul Reiser.
You know what? Exactly.
A couple of "Hey, how are yous" in here. Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you.
I'll
tell you. Even sadder part of that. This is so. I was. I'm like a good 12 years behind technologically. So a couple of years ago, and they said you got to tweet. So I got and I tweeted, and then I stopped. And 2 years went by, and I was going out and out on the road again. They said, you should tweet. And I didn't know my password. So we had to shut down. I had like 20, 30,000 followers. I went, we can't get them because you're too stupid. You don't even know how to get into your tweet. I said, yeah, we got to start over. So we started a new account, and I have 11 people. And I went, maybe they'll call the 20,000 and tell them to show up.
Everybody follow Paul Reiser right now. Yeah. At Paul Reiser. Let's do this for him.
Oh, gosh.
And for the tech savvy.
All right, I'll go home and tweet, I promise. Right.
For the tech savvy, go to brea.improv.com and get your tickets for this Friday and Saturday at the Brea Improv.
You'll be there. I know. You guys have nothing to do in the evening.
Heck yeah, we'll be there. No, and it's the weekend. I mean, we don't ask us to get anywhere during the week because we're in bed by 8:30.
You're busy. I understand.
Thank you for coming in.
Pleasure,
Open
man.
Door anytime you want to come back.
Thank
and hang
you.
Out
Great
with
to
us.
See you guys.
We'll be right back. We're Heidi and Frank. Come back to 95.5 KLOS.com every day to hear more clips like these and to get the entire Heidi and Frank show. Go to HeidiandFrank.com and become a premium member. All access, people. On demand. Webcast. Behind the scenes. Too much to name right here. Go to HeidiandFrank.com. Check it out.